Our reading tonight is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 9, and will be brought to us by Matthew Jackson.
I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Amen.
It's wonderful to have Peter, who's our full-time youth and community worker here. He's going to come and speak to the boys and to the adults that are here this evening as well. Peter.
Evening, everyone. Before I start, I think the younger ones are heading out. They have escaped. They don't have to stay and listen to me. So boys, you just want to get up and head on out before I begin. Folks, it's really great to be here with you. It's really great to be able to take part in the BB enrollment. I get the privilege of going along every so often, spending probably more time with the company section, dropping in every now and again and spending time with them, taking some Bible classes and stuff. So it's great to be able to come and to share with you a wee bit tonight. I don't know if all of you know this, but I'm not from Ballymena. I'm from a wonderful place called Portadown, center of the universe. Well, that's what I like to think anyway. And because of that, unfortunately, some of the boys, Some who are sitting in front of me now tend to make fun of how I speak sometimes, okay? I say things a wee bit different. Where I'm from, we don't say prayer, we say prayer. You aren't sitting on a chair, you're sitting on a chair. And sometimes they like to make fun of how I speak. But boys, I've got a question for you, and I kind of have a question for everybody. Are there certain words that you cannot say? No matter how hard you try to say them, no matter how hard you try to get them out, you just can't say it. It's like on the tip of your tongue and you just can't pronounce that word. I asked a friend this week. I was like, are there any words that you can't say? And there were two words in particular that they just couldn't say. And I was left in stitches as I sat and watched them try to say these words because, like, they were getting so wound up and frustrated at the fact that they couldn't say them. The first one was this, humanity, okay? Their version of humanity is human anonymity, okay? That is generally what they were trying to say, okay? The second word came out like this. I don't even know if I can say it. It came out something like economy, okay? They were trying to say economy, okay? There's two words that they just couldn't say, no matter how hard they tried. My brother's the same. My brother can't say funeral. He just avoids saying that word. It comes out something like funeral. And so my brother, instead of saying that was a lovely funeral service, he would say that was a lovely passing away service. He just avoids saying that word. And so I wonder, are there words that you really struggle to say? So you just avoid saying them. You just shy away from saying them because you just feel like you can't. And so you don't want to. Now, this doesn't happen to just us ordinary people. This can happen to celebrities as well. Take a look at this video, if I can get it to come up. Maybe not. Rory, can you stick it up for me? There's a video. Take a look at this here. Technology's going to beat me again. There we go.
So why are these women so attracted to penguins?
Who would have known that Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes, cannot say the word penguins? Who would have known that? This happens to so many of us at times where we just, certain words we cannot say, And so we maybe shy away from trying to say those words. Hang on to that thought for me, okay? Hang on to that thought for me until later on. And guys, there's a couple of things that I want to share with you guys as boys in our BB, but there's something as well that I want to share with the rest of us as the church and the parents and the grandparents. There's a few things that I want to share from this passage in 1 Corinthians. The motto of the Boys Brigade is this. This clicker's not going to work for me at all tonight. Roy, you're just going to have to stick it up for me. The motto of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys. Boys, that's what BB is all about. That's what Alistair was saying. That's why the officers and the leaders, that's why they open the doors of this church every Thursday night for you guys to come in, to have fun, to spend time with your friends. But more importantly, because we want an opportunity just to share the love of Christ with you and share the good news of the gospel. An opportunity for us to nurture you and to guide you and point you towards Jesus. That is what BB is all about. The beautiful thing about that is over the many years that BB has existed in this church and in this nation, over the many, many years, so many boys have come into the kingdom of God. I know that because I know some of the older officers who were involved many years ago. I know some of the men that are out here in church today. And I know that for so many of you, BB played a massive part in that. BB played a massive part in encouraging you and pointing you towards Jesus. And I know that that's true for some of you boys that are sitting in front of me tonight. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. The BB motto is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys. I want to encourage you to make your life motto this, the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the world. The advancement of Christ's kingdom among the world. That's our life goal as Christians. If you're a Christian tonight, that is what your life is all about. We should be seeking and striving to take every opportunity in your school, when you're playing sports with your friends, when you're at work, when you're just with your family. We should allow this to shape and mold our attitude, what we say, and how we live our lives. Each and every day, if you're a Christian tonight, what life is all about for you is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the world. Whatever your world is, whoever those people are around you, that's what you should strive to do. That's what we've been called to do. As Alistair mentioned it there earlier on in the service, we're called to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're called to do. You have this incredible story, this incredible truth of what God has done in your life. This good news, as the Bible describes it, boys. This good news. And so we need to go and we need to share it. And that's what BB is all about. But as Christians, that's what our life should be all about. If you've good news, you want to share it with everybody else. With me and Amy, when we got engaged, it was a life-changing moment for the two of us. It was this incredible moment. It was something that filled us with so much joy and so much passion. And so we just wanted to tell other people about it. As soon as we got engaged, as soon as Amy had stopped crying, she phoned her mom and her dad to tell them that we got engaged. She wanted to share the news. I wanted to share the news. And so we have this incredible truth, guys, that Jesus died on a cross and that he rose again victorious, and that when we put our trust in him, we are set free from sin. We are forgiven when we seek that from him. But that's not true just in our lives. That can be true in so many other people's lives. And so, guys, I want to encourage you tonight. If you're a Christian, folks, I want to encourage you tonight. If you're a Christian, make this your life goal. Make this your aim for this week as you head out into it. Do you want this week? My focus is going to be on advancing Christ's kingdom among the people that I spend my time with, the people that I come in contact with this week. Make that your aim. Peter, that's great, and I think that's a really good goal in life. But maybe you're sitting there as a Christian, you're thinking, Peter, this does sound great. I would love to do this, and that sounds awesome, but. And maybe for you the but is, you worry or you allow doubt to creep in, and you think, maybe I don't have the right words. Peter, maybe the words are maybe on the tip of my tongue, but I don't know if I could get those words out. And maybe it's like those other words that you can't say, and so you begin to just shy away and hide away from taking those opportunities, hiding away from telling other people. You begin to think, well, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I say it in the wrong way? What if it just, I go to open my mouth and it just, human anonymity just bubbles out of my mouth and it makes no sense to anybody that's listening? What if they don't listen? What if they don't react? What if I mess it all up? Well, Paul here encourages the church. He says this, I always thank my God for you, for your gracious gifts he has given you. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him God has enriched you, your church, in every way with all your elegant words and all knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly await for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says as a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Paul said in Philippians, it is no longer I who live, but as a Christian, it's Christ who lives in me. Jesus said, it's when he was given the Great Commission, this mission to go and tell others, when he was telling the disciples that, he said, it's better that I leave to be with the Father and that my Spirit comes and lives within you. And so, boys, here's the thing. If you're a Christian tonight, the Holy Spirit is in you. And that means you have everything you need to tell other people about Jesus. You might think, I don't know if I have the words or the courage or the ability, but when you rely on him, when you turn to him and ask for his strength and boneless and courage, you've everything you need to tell others. In Luke, it says this, and when you're brought to trial in the synagogues and before the rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. Boys, rely on God. Allow him to speak through you. You don't need to be afraid what to say because he has given you the strength and the boldness. He's given you the words to say. It's inside of you if you just take that bold step of stepping out to do it. And that is a terrifying thing to do for the first time. But when you do it, and when you see how people react, and when you continue to do it, you'll see God use it to change your friends' lives, to change your parents' lives, to change the people's lives that are around you. And so, boys, I want to encourage you to step out of your boat and take that bold step. You might think, Peter, I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not the youth worker. I'm not the minister. I don't know if I could actually do that. I used to think like that. I used to think that there was no way I could step out and tell somebody about God. I'm not intelligent. I didn't do the greatest in school. And so I was worried that maybe I wouldn't say the right thing. And maybe I would get it wrong. But someone once said something to me that has stuck with me over the years. And it's probably something that a lot of you have heard before. They said this, Peter, God doesn't just call the qualified, but he always qualifies the called. And so, boys, if you're a Christian tonight, God has called you to tell your friends about him. God has called you to share his love in what you say and what you do with the people that are around you. And so he'll qualify you and he'll equip you to do it if you just trust in him. And so, boys, tonight I want to encourage you, first of all. I want to encourage you tomorrow, Christians that are here tonight, wake up and pray this. This is an incredible thing to pray. God, here I am. Use me this week. God, you've invited me, like what it says here, God has invited us into a fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into a friendship. So God, here I am. So God, here I am. Use me this week in whatever way you want to use me. Boys, make that your prayer this week, and then go and live it out. Go and live it out. Boys' motto for the BB is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, Peter, I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And maybe that's a reality for you. Maybe you haven't come into God's kingdom. Guys, I want to encourage you by telling you this. God is giving you an invitation. He's giving you an invitation to come and be a part of his family, to come and be in friendship and in fellowship and partnership, whatever word you want to put in there. He's inviting you to come and follow him. He's inviting you to come and find forgiveness for the things that you've done wrong, to find this unconditional love, this love that never fails, because God is love, that's what the Bible says, and God is always faithful, he never fails. He's inviting you to come and find acceptance into his family. Imagine having God, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, imagine being able to call him Abba Father and to call him our Heavenly Father. Imagine being able to do that. He's calling you to what Alistair was saying earlier, to come and find true life. And guys, that comes by seeking his forgiveness. Seeking his forgiveness and asking him to come and to change your life. And so boys, there's this incredible invitation from God that is given to you tonight. And do you know what's the incredible thing about this invitation, folks? None of us deserve it. You don't deserve to be invited to be a friend of God. In order to do that, you need perfection. In order to do that, you need to always get things right. And we tend to always get things wrong. Maybe you want to have nothing to do with God. Maybe you don't even believe that God exists. You want to have nothing to do with him. And yet God wants to have everything to do with you. And so through Jesus, he extended his love and his grace and his mercy. Through Jesus, he opened up an invitation for you guys to come and to be a part of his family. And so the question to you boys is this. Will you accept? Will you accept that invitation? If you're not a Christian tonight, the ball is in your court. Will you accept the invitation that God is giving you to come and find true life in him? To come and find that true forgiveness, that true acceptance, to have him as your father, a father who will never, ever, ever let you down. But the question is, will you accept? Me and Amy got engaged, and when we went to get married, we'd done what everybody does. We sent out these invitations to our friends and to our family, the people that we wanted to be there, to be part of our big day, to be a part of our celebration. But those people had to respond to us at the RSVP. They had to get back to us in order for them to come to the wedding. Well, guys, God is giving you an invitation to be a part of something so much greater than a wedding. He's giving you an invitation to be a part of his family. An invitation to be a part of heaven forever. But boys, just like the people needed to respond to us, you need to respond to God. And so how will you respond? See, I believe every single one of us will respond tonight. It'll either be a yes or it'll be a no. You'll either accept that we need to ask God for forgiveness and accept his invitation to come and be a part of his family. Or you'll say no, and you'll go back home the exact same way that you came in. But boys, every single part of me prays and hopes that your answer to will you accept is a yes. Because that will be the most incredible, the greatest yes that you will ever say. Amy, when she said yes to being engaged to me, it was a great yes for her, but it wasn't the greatest yes she's ever said. The greatest yes that she ever said was yes to Jesus. Boys, the greatest decision you could ever make is choosing to ask God for forgiveness in your heart, not your mind, not what you say, but in your heart. That's where you truly mean things. And choosing to turn and follow after him. And so, boys, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. How will you respond? But I want you to know this. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you've done. When you turn to God and you ask him for forgiveness, his word says he's faithful to forgive you. As Stephanie said this morning, when you seek God, and you truly seek him in your heart, you will find him. 1 John 1:9 says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Boys, if you truly, in your heart, turn to God and say, God, I am sorry for the things that I have done wrong, know that he is faithful to forgive you and to love you and to accept you into his family. And so, boys, as I close, for those that are Christians, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make it your life goal this week to strive to see the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the world. Step out and be bold. But do it knowing that Jesus is right there with you. His spirit is inside of you. And allow him to give you everything you need just to tell a friend, look, let me tell you about Jesus. Or to live it out in how you treat your parents. I'm sure the parents would love that. How you would treat your parents or your friends or your teachers. But take up those opportunities. And that goes for all of us. Maybe it's in work. Maybe it's speaking to your neighbor or whatever. Guys, let's be bold this week. Let's make it our life goal to see the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the world. For those of us that aren't Christians, God has given you this invitation to become one through what Jesus has done on the cross. He's paid the price. He's paid it all. And so you just need to respond and come and seek his forgiveness and follow after him. But the question is, how will you respond? As I finish, there's one more thing that I want to share from this. Boys, would you do me a favor, and leaders and officers, would you stand up? Just stand up where you are. And folks, parents, grandparents, I want you to take a look at these boys, okay? Don't look at me, that might be really hard not to do, but don't look at me, look at them, okay? Each of these boys has enrolled in our BB. A BB which is part of our church family. They're part of our church, part of our family as much as any other organization or anything that happens in this church. A good family supports each other. And so our role in all of this, our role over this year until the next enrollment, guys, is to support these guys as best we can. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is through prayer. Paul said this right at the start. He said, I always thank my God for you. If you look at a lot of Paul's letters, he started so many of them by reminding the church, look, I'm not there with you, but I'm praying for you. I can't physically be there, but I want you to know that I'm lifting you up before my God in prayer. And so you might not be able to be there on a Thursday night. You might not be able to be there and to help out, but you have a massive role to play. It is our job as parents and grandparents, church members, church leaders, Christians, it is our role to stand with these guys and to be praying every single day. Every single Thursday night, be praying for the leaders and the helpers as they prepare and as they seek to show these guys who Jesus is. Be praying for these boys as they head out tomorrow and every single day into a world that is becoming increasingly harder to go out into. Let's be praying for them. And so I want to make that a wee bit easier for you tonight. At the end, two of the boys are going to be at the back doors. They're going to have baskets, and in those baskets are wee prayer cards. And on each card, there's a couple of names of the leaders and what section they're from, and just some of the names of the boys. It's just first names. God knows who they are. So I want to encourage you as a church and as parents and grandparents, take those cards. And in your quiet times, as you come to God and as you spend time praying, lift them up in prayer by name. For the Christians, pray that God would help them to step out of their comfort zone and boldly share him with others. And for those that aren't Christians, let's pray them into the kingdom. And so I want to invite you to pray for these boys. Boys, you can take a seat. That's our job. That's our role. The band are going to come back up. They're going to sing a song for us. In the middle of it, the offering piece is going to be taken. But I want to encourage you to kickstart that praying now. I want to encourage you through this song just to spend some time praying for these boys, or praying for any boys or girls that you know that just need prayer at this time. And on your way out, grab one of the cards and spend your week praying for these boys.